I have tried to make it clear to people, and the Bible, of course, makes it clear, that religion has very little to do with following Christ. I mean, it's sort of, they're not necessarily the same thing, being religious and following Christ. The world is full of religion, but religion, all that does is make people self-righteous and pious and so forth. Religion may be a stumbling block to find Christ. By religion, I mean man's effort to put together a view of God that comes out of his own mind, his own thought about God, religion. In the name of religion, there have been many absurdities in this world. I've quoted this a long time ago, and you may have forgotten it. I'll quote it again. Shakespeare, I'm indebted to him for this, but very appropriate. He says, in religion, what damned error but some sober brow will bless it and approve it with a text, thus hiding the grossness with fair ornament. He meant the word the way it's supposed to be used, damned errors, errors that are damnable. And he's right. Religion has been the fountainhead of absurdities and cruelties and injustices, misconceptions, all kinds of wretchedness in this world, because in religion we have man's effort to fashion something holy or something to find God with, and he's always going to fail. That's why there are so many different religions, because it's man's effort. If it were God's effort, there wouldn't be so many. Now, what we talk about here, what Jesus talked about, was not religion, but identifying with Christ. There's a difference. And perhaps you are closer to God when you're mowing your lawn than you are when you are engaging in some religious ritual. Well, that's the point at which last week we were pressing this matter about the radio, you see, and I said, you don't have to keep flicking the switch to determine whether that's a radio or not. It sits there and you know it's a radio. When you want it, you use it. Now, I don't mean that we should just go to God when we want him. I don't mean it that way. But I'm saying to you, you don't always have to do that. Now, how do you get along? How do two human beings get along when their insecurity is such that they always have to keep asking over and over again, do you love me? Now, let me soften that a bit by saying I think it's a good thing if you love somebody to tell them. And words caress the heart, and it's a good thing for a man to tell his wife that he loves her, and a woman to tell her husband that he loves her, because words are important to us to caress. But if the husband or the wife, if the wife is asking every 5 minutes, do you love me, do you love me, it gets old. Or if she keeps saying just because he doesn't do something she wants, or she doesn't do something, and he doesn't do something she wants, or whatever, you don't love me anymore. An old standby, especially for young lovers. That's insecurity. Now with Christ, if you always have to be religious just to make sure of your relationship to him, you're insecure. I talked to a man yesterday, been in the ministry 20 years, I guess, 18. He said, the biggest problem I have is feeling guilty when I'm not working for the Lord. I go home and to rest, and I feel guilty. I should be out working. It's insecurity. He ought to know better. He's been in the ministry long enough. He's reading a certain book that he says helps him a great deal about that. And in fact, he started coming to our school down there. After being in the ministry 20 years, he decided to go back to school. But that's a very grave problem with Christians. Insecurity. And that's what makes them always feverishly trying to do something to impress God. And like I said last week, invariably we're either trying to get God to prove himself to us, or we're trying to prove ourselves to him. And if he isn't working a magic trick for you all the time, you wonder if he's around. So I'm trying to press the point as Jesus tried to press the point, to come to him and rest. You'll find enough things to do to keep busy in time. I find enough to do to keep busy, but I am resting in the Lord. I'm not trying to prove anything to him. I'm busy all the time, but not because I think if I don't work, he's not going to like me anymore. I really mean this, very seriously. I could stop the whole thing tonight. I could go back home and go to bed and get up next morning and forget it all. Say, well, Lord, I worked long enough. I'm tired. I've been working long enough. Let somebody else do it. How would he beat me for that? No. You go, okay, that's the way you want it. Fine. Sorry. It'd have been futile after this long. I don't think I've ever proved it was any good yet. I bring this personal thing out because I want to, I'd like to have you people feel at peace in your hearts, rest. I see so much feverish activity in the things of God. People are wearing themselves out. And it is more wearisome when it is done in an effort to maintain faith. More wearisome when we do it because we think if we don't, the Lord won't like us, or the church won't like us, or the pastor won't like us, or somebody won't. No, just be at peace about it. Get up in the morning, whistle while you work, don't worry about it. And the Lord wants to use you for something, he'll tap you on the shoulder. He'll let you know. And you may serve him in far more ways than you realize. Talking to a young lady today, doing very well as a career girl. Would like to get married, but no one has turned up was suitable. But she's filling in a certain situation a very important function for the Lord. But she didn't realize it until I pointed it out to her. You know, she was wondering, what should I be doing? Well, I said, right now, just where you are, you're really serving the Lord in a lot of different ways that you don't realize. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord has not called us unto bondage, but unto liberty, to freedom. Jesus said, the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I will say to you tonight, categorically, and with no fear of contradiction, you can tell the Lord up there that I said it. If he wants to come after me, it's up to him. I will say this without contradiction. If your approach to faith, to Christ, has you tonight in bondage, in guilt, in fear, something is out of order. I don't mean with your life. I mean with your approach to it, your understanding. You may be trying to be religious. You may be trying to prove something to God. You may be trying to act holier than you are. That's what we call putting on a front for the record. It's the central thing, as I've always tried to tell you, the central thing is just relating to Christ. Tie up with him. Let him work out your life. And what happens with people who have been in the faith a long time, on the road as Christians, is that they've got an awful lot of dead wood. If we cut out all that dead wood, we don't have very much left. That's what they're afraid of. If they quit doing the things that they were just doing because they were trying to make points with God or keep their pastor happy or keep the church happy, if they quit doing that, they feel like there won't be anything. It'll just be zero. Well, that may be true. But the problem is they're already zero and they don't know it. They pile up all that dead wood there and they think there's something because they've been doing all that stuff. No, just get down to the green, to that which you really feel inside, or sense, not feel, don't trust your feelings, but I mean that which is really you. You're not doing it for anybody else's sake. You're not trying to prove anything to anybody. You're not trying to prove anything to God. This is you. If can't take you as you are and build something out of it. You're not going to do it yourself. The Bible says it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And you say, where does discipline come in? Look, just get on the road with the Lord. He'll remind you of the things you ought to do. If you want discipline, he'll give you plenty of time for that. But let the Lord be the one that tells you. I confront this a number of times with people who think, well, you're making it too easy. You know, well, why don't you tell these people to do so and so and so? And so I have to say, well, who tells you to do it? You know, I don't. If the Spirit tells you, can't you trust him to tell the others? I don't come to you with a long list of rules. Why? Because I know the Lord will, in his time, handle your needs or show you what you need. He'll do that. He's faithful at that. If you quit making so much religious noise and get quiet before him and let him start telling you what to do instead of all the clamor of other opinions. I mean, you can read book after book after book, and some people are just plain confused. Read too many books to talk to too many different people. Everybody's got a different story. Now, when I read the Bible to you, and I read the words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. That's Jesus talking, not me. I'm just reading a word. Now you pick up a book, and somebody's giving you five rules to be a great Christian. That's not Jesus talking. That's that man talking. Or that person that's writing, whether it's a man or a woman or whatever. They're the ones that he's talking. So let's listen to what Christ has to say. All right, now he comes to this religionist, Nicodemus. Or Nicodemus comes to him. Obviously, Nicodemus is unhappy. He's unsatisfied with his life. Yet, as a member of the Sanhedrin, which he was, Nicodemus was probably as perfect in keeping the law as anyone. He was a leader of the Jewish religion. He was an example of the Jewish religion. He was probably like Paul, who said, as far as the law was concerned, I was blameless. He was doing all the good things, doing all the good work. But he was unhappy or dissatisfied. If he wasn't dissatisfied, he wouldn't have come to Jesus. Incidentally, it's a good point to remember. Don't beat your head against the wall trying to tell people they're not happy. Let them find out for themselves. They don't even know what you mean by it, you know. You go and sit in a bar somewhere and tell the guy next to you, you know, you're miserable. He's not going to believe you. He may be having a very happy time. In fact, that's why they call it the happy hour. Of course, they may be trying to kid themselves, too. So if you talk to, you try to talk to somebody about their soul, you care about it, that's nice. You can try to tell them about it. And they say, don't bother me, I'm happy. Well, don't try to contradict them. If they think they're happy, fine, let them go. If they've got some other religious view, and you say, well, yours is no good, and they say, I like it, well, fine, if you like it, keep it. Don't you try to make them unhappy. Plenty of other things in the world will do that to them. When the Lord gets to them, they'll be ready to come. I've told you before, I think, of the experience of a young man, businessman, was just really swinging wide. He had a nice business, 75-foot yacht. Everything was going great. And when I talked to him one night about the Lord, he said, well, I don't mind what you're saying to me, but I'm getting along fine. I don't need anything else. I don't need the Lord. And to build a business, you don't need the Lord. The Lord is not a specialist. He's not a business consultant. His business is the Spirit. You can build a nice business without the Lord at all. Maybe the devil will help you. Maybe the devil will grade him. But so he was getting along fine. And I said, that's all right. You know, and I said, I'll pray for you. So I did. I began praying for him, and pretty soon the rug began coming out from under him. flat on his face, and he was just in a mess. And he wound up in a psychiatric ward at his general hospital down there. Things got in such a mess. So I went in to see him, and I said, you know, I feel responsible for this, because I've been praying that the Lord would bring you to attention here. And so I said, I'll see you through it. I'll stand with you on it. So we began working with him. I just put simple little things, because he hadn't slept for 5 days, I think. So I just got him in the back seat of the car and drove a couple hundred miles on that, just let him sleep in a back seat, because I thought he needed sleep more than he needed a sermon. I just shut up and drove and let him sleep. And I picked him up out of a bar to do that with him. So he finally came to his senses, and then he was ready to listen. So he came to the Lord, got his life straightened out. Up in Canada now. I just saw him recently after 15 years later. He's still going strong with the Lord. And he's talking a vastly different game than he did then. But the point was this. I didn't press him. I said, come on now, you're miserable. Admit it. He wasn't miserable. He was happy. And getting along great. And there came a time when he was ready to listen. Now all of this up out of his point that Nicodemus was ready to listen to God, to find something better, even though he was as religious a man as you might find. But it may be that a week prior or a year prior to this, you would have spit in your eyes if you tried to talk to him about something different. There's always that time when people are ready. It's interesting the way Jesus deals with people. That's one of the things we're trying to look at in these lessons. How does Jesus look at people when he deals with them? And he tells it to them just like it is. He doesn't put on any varnish or veneer. And if they're not ready, if they don't want to follow him, well, that's up to them. He doesn't, you know, like the rich young ruler who came to him and said, what must I do? And the Lord said, go sell all that you have. That's a special thing. He doesn't tell everybody to sell all that they have, but he told this young man to do that, very matter-of-factly. And the fellow went away. And the Lord didn't run after him and say, oh, wait, don't go away. You know, he let him go. Very interesting thing that somehow the Lord got through to us in our thick-headedness. But we can't imagine that he's going to get through to our family. And here's our family. We look at them and say, oh, look at this member of the family. They just sold this and sold that. They're so bad. They can't stand them anymore. And then you have to turn around and say, well, how are you when you're in their conditions? Nobody can stand you either, probably. Now, the Lord got through to you. He can get through to them. And so we take our family, we badger them and hound them and nag them and everything, trying to get them to Christ. And maybe we ought to just let them alone and let the Lord deal with them. All we're doing is driving them further away. You got to the Lord without their help. Maybe they can get to the Lord without your help. Your help should be to pray for them. That's all right. But when they're ready, they'll come. Until they're ready, all the talking, all the nagging, all the badgering in the world is not going to help them. The best thing to do is to quit talking and start living. Just be gracious to them. Treat them like Christ would treat them. If you want them to come to Christ, you better show them how Christ would treat them, because the way you treat them may sometimes not be the way Christ would treat them. And you can't understand why they don't want to come to Jesus. They look at your life and say, that's the way Jesus is. I certainly don't want to come to Jesus. That's right. It's a funny business, isn't it? We get so absurd in our religious attitudes toward life. When the Spirit of Christ touches their life, they'll understand that. Now they look at you and they don't know that you shouldn't act like they do. They don't know that. They think if you are talking about Jesus, you ought to at least act somewhat like Jesus does. That's all they've got to go on. Now maybe later when the Spirit of God touches their heart, they'll see it differently. But you really should say to them, look, I don't act too well myself, and I don't blame you for not coming to the Lord. I'm trying to follow him, and I'm not doing a very good job. All I can say is the Lord's in my heart. I'm glad he's there, but I don't blame you for not coming. That's right. You see, the problem is not that I think you ought to always act better, because you're a human being. The problem is, knowing how bad you act, you shouldn't try to badger them into becoming a Christian. Just pray for them. You're doing the best you can. I know that. You're living out your life. I say we're doing the best we can in a way you are. And I think that people like you that are coming here tonight obviously are really interested in the Lord, or you wouldn't be here. You want to do it right. I know that. And the Lord thinks so. You got a long way to go. We all do. We got to grow. So you can be at peace about yourself. Well, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. If you do act in ways around your home that are rough, don't be surprised if they don't listen to you when you try to tell them about Jesus. That is precisely why we need the Spirit of God to help people get to Christ, more than our trying to preach to them. Just pray for them. Love them in the Lord. Now, I had a situation in a church where a young woman that's been a member of the church for quite a while, of this particular church, and like a lot of church people, and I see it all the time, she was careless about the way she was dressed. Somehow, Christian people seem to feel like they've got to follow the trends. I understand it. You try to talk to them about how they dress, and it brings great resentment. But this girl was pretty carefully dressed, pretty immodest, and in fact, and so this fellow came to church for the first time. His wife had been praying for him for quite a while, so he came to church. It was on an Easter Sunday. And this young woman was so carelessly dressed that he said, after, he said, you know, I can see that kind of thing in a bar. He never came back. Now, there may be all kinds of reasons why this person might say, well, I'm a human being, I want to look like the other people, and so forth. And maybe she wasn't really following the Lord very closely in these matters. And the guy that didn't come back obviously was looking for an excuse. But we have to say, don't be surprised if they don't come when we talk to them. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can bring them through in spite of all of that. He does all the time. He brings people through in spite of our weaknesses. When they once come to Christ, then they understand too that just because you are a member of the family of the Lord doesn't mean you're always going to act 100%. That's the other side of the coin. See that? There are women who act witchy all the time, and then their husbands don't want to come to the Lord, and they're badgering them to come to the Lord. Why don't you come to Jesus, you sinner, you know? And yet they're acting like a witch all the time. And you just have to say, well, maybe the guy has a reason. Now, Peter makes a point of that, and he says to the wives, now, of course, it goes the other way, too, so don't think I'm just being hard on women. Men, they want their wives to come to the Lord. Maybe they've come to Christ, and they got to treat them right, too. The point is, Peter says that a wife, by her way of living, can win her husband. You don't try to capture the Spirit in a religious box. The Spirit comes into your life. Don't try to figure out where it comes from or where it's going. Just let him come in and affect the changes that he must affect. We try to make a theology out of the Holy Spirit, and it splits the church wide open. Everybody trying to capture the Spirit in a religious box. Trying to tell you this is what the Spirit does, and this is what he does, and this is what he doesn't do, and this is where he comes from. You can't. Just open the heart. Spirit, let him come in and let him do his work quietly within you. invisibly. No big demonstration, no big show, just work in the heart. Takes time, takes years of the Spirit working in you to bring about His purposes, but He'll do it. Just stay steady. And it'll be His work and not yours. And then, as He is in your heart, you let Him affect the lives of others through you. Not by your talk, but by your life. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this word tonight. Very difficult. But we pray that the Spirit may take the word and give life to it. In Christ's name.